perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Walcott there.
A fighting in the middle of time.
He gets inside.
In any weather you can see us with your ring. Listening head and skin. You're not where behind the chair.
Mark Cochin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And it's back to the normal footy routine.
It is. We've had a week off, Nick, and you know, we did a preview of last week's. We did a review of last week's game. But we thought for people who are going to the game tomorrow, we thought that they might want an extra podcast to listen to. So we're banging one out today. And how have you spent your week off, Nick?
I was so relaxed last week. Like, I missed footy, and I realised I really miss the routine of the week. You know, where you get the review of the VFL on Tuesday, injury updates, team selection Thursday night, feeling nervous and stressed on Friday, neglecting my family on the weekend, you know, and the gut-wrenching tension of the game itself. So I was so relaxed, you know, I spent time with the kids, you know, I honestly felt like a happier, more well-rounded human being, and I'm so happy that's over.
Exactly. I'm so happy I no longer have to talk to my nearest and dearest. I must say, the award for strangest way to spend your off-season, to spend your week break, if you're a professional athlete, Nick, like, I could understand the Lossie, as you pointed out, went down and surfed 20-foot waves in King Island with his girlfriend. Seems a bit weird, but going sort of a cold, romantic, dark place, a bit wild and rugged, you get the surf, you get to spend some time with your girlfriend. That sort of makes sense to me.
And look, they met on a surfing lesson, so, you know, there's some history there.
Yeah. The one that made no sense to me was Taylor Hunt going down to play golf with Jack Rimwalt in northern Tasmania in a golf course that was blowing a gale and that was wet, it was windy, and you're playing golf with a bloke, with one of your work friends in Tasmania in winter. That made no sense to me. So, you know, as much as, you know, we are fans of Taylor Hunt and Richmond Tiger Talk, I in no way can relate to his personal life choices.
I think it reflects a broader point that road trips are always fun.
Yes, I would hope that a road trip would be, yes, that may be true, but my road trips, frankly, are more fun than that. Okay, so Nick, you have actually productively used your time off as far as Richmond analysis has been. So Nick, what have you learned analysing the numbers in the week off?
Well, you know, like most sensible Richmond supporters, you know, I thought I gave myself a little break, but the footy itch came back. So I actually went through both some of the team stats and the individual stats to try and, you know, step back from the week-to-week roller coaster and just get a sense of where we are. And frankly, what struck me was as much the continuity as anything else. Last year, we were third in the AFL for disposal differential. This year, we're fourth. There has been a noticeable shift. We are handballing a reasonable amount less, and particularly so in the last month. We're 15th in the AFL for hit-out differential, but actually I just worked out that was pretty much just... once you took out the Fremantle game, it looked exactly the same as the stats from last year. The two big changes are, A, we are not nearly as good a clearance or contested possession team as we were last year, but we have got better inside 50. We've gone from 8th in the AFL for marks inside 50 to 3rd in the AFL. For marks inside 50 differential, which is, I think, been a big part of our success, has been our ability to generate better shots at goal than the opposition.
Yeah, I think so. And if I may add to that, I spent the one thing I've been thinking about is you know, what changed. Now, maybe nothing did. Now, if you believe the coaching, if you believe what he said in interviews, that essentially we've been doing all the same thing all year and it's just somehow working better. And, you know, fair enough. If there's one thing coaching staff, all the world round in all professional sports are incredibly paranoid about discussing tactics during the season. But I think that I went back and looked at the Collingwood game because the Collingwood game was sort of the shift. Maybe we didn't change anything, but definitely on the scoreboard, things got much better from the first quarter of between the quarter time break, first quarter break of the Collingwood game. Everything got better since then. Now, the thing I noticed, and this is subjective judgment, so take it for what it is, but I think the change has been, like, the slowing down of play and chipping around more, we had that in our kick bat already. We're deploying it more now, and it's been really successful, and it's hit a sweet spot where it's worked well against a couple of teams. But I think playing slow is not revolutionary. I think that we've got a frantic style and a slow style, and I think most teams in the AFL do. If you speak to people who sit behind the goals, sit behind the bench, that, you know, they have code words for it, they call it out, and there's a conscious shift between different styles of play. And that's not to be confused with the end of games, which, because everyone's tired and space opens up, things naturally turn to helter-skelter style or time-wasting style. But, you know, I think most teams have a fast mode and a slow mode. I think we've been playing a lot more slow mode when we've got the ball recently. But that's not revolutionary. So when the coaching staff are saying nothing has radically changed, I believe that's the truth. We're just been using more of the slow mode. The thing I think that has changed is that we were a high pressing team. So by that I mean that, you know, when there was a point kick out, we would push almost all of our players in a high press. They'd all be ready trying to stop the team clearing the inside 50 or clearing the 80 meter arc or so, and to get repeat entries inside 50s. The thing I think's changed, and I noticed this in the first quarter of the Collingwood game, we were pressing high and Collingwood were cutting us apart like North Melbourne did. And then getting easy, that they get over the back of our press because everyone was pushed forward trying to keep it inside 50. Collingwood cut apart, get it easy at the back end inside 50 and walk in, you know, get a relatively easy uncontested goal. Look, in the first 10 minutes of the Collingwood game, we actually should have been two goals worse off than we actually were. But then in the second quarter of the Collingwood game, now I may be imagining this, but this is what I see, and I think this is what's been happening lately. We've been defending much deeper. So we've been putting people, we've been making it more easy to get the inside 50 clearance and through the midfield, but we've had a lot more defenders back. In the second quarter of the Collingwood game, the easy transition, there was no more players out the back, and by the time Collingwood got kicks into their forward 50, we had a lot of players back. And so having defending much deeper means that you're sort of, it's counter-attacking football and soccer, that you get the ball in the, your defensive 50, all your players are back, but it allows you to break. And because we have a few very smart forwards like Jack, that we break well on the counter-attack, people like Jack find the space well, and that's what's been the difference. Also, the three forwards has helped that, because if you're going to counter-attack football, eventually you're going to have to kick it long. And, you know, having extra tools helps that. So that's my pet theory of what's changed.
Well, Owen, when you go through the individual stats, I agree with a lot of that. And I think we're coping better with when teams flood a lot of numbers back, just because of the way that we're just being much more patient about not bombing the ball in, but also we're having, because we're dropping more numbers back, we're getting situations where our defenders are one-on-one, and it's both, we've become more effective in those situations. So Jack, you know, we've said he's moving better, the stats bear it out, his career high for disposals and inside 50s, while still maintaining a pretty consistent rate of shots on goal. Lids is noticeably better on marks, contested marks, marks inside 50, while sort of his overall disposal numbers have dropped off a bit. So he's more that... Lids is noticeably better as a marking target while playing less as a midfielder, and I'm fine with that. If combine that as well with Griff being effective as a centre half forward, like you've got, you know, in the absence of a functioning small forward, you've got guys who can win one outs or kill the ball in a 2-on-1 situation and sort of set us up for the next phase of play. What the other interesting thing, you know, I do agree we've got more defensive across the ground, and it's actually, I think there's been an explicit trade-off. Like we're not as good at contested possession or clearances, and that reflects a change in the composition of the team. Like last year, we had some combination of Dan Jackson, Matt Thomas, Rhys Conker, Nathan Foley in the team pretty much every week.
Ricky Pettard.
Yeah, Pettard. I don't see him as in quite... Because he played up forward and down back a bit as well. He was sort of in a variety of roles. But particularly those guys are all, you know, one-paced inside midfielders. And, you know, that... playing instead of those guys, we've had Taylor Hunt and Camden McIntosh, who, funnily enough, are, once you take their names away, are pretty much exactly the same footballer. They're both averaging 17 disposals a game, and, you know, a couple of tackles. They're both very outside. McIntosh has been hitting the scoreboard much more than Taylor Hunt has.
Because he plays more forward. No, but I totally see that. Like, they are, and they are, so they are similar. The eye test is, like, superficially, McIntosh is a wingman, Taylor Hunt is a back pocket slash occasional mid. But realistically, they are the same. They're outside players who have agricultural disposal under pressure, but, you know, they have the athletic ability and the running about power to find the outside, and they're very effective at breaking the play open.
Yeah, they're both quick, and they can run all day. So it's, you know, we've traded off a bit of that grunt. Now, the other redeeming factor for Steve Morris being the least productive small forward in living memory, and I had a look back at
the other redeeming factor, as opposed to the one we've just talked about, which I've never found. But anyway, go on.
Well, no, we'll get there. Stick with me. So his numbers compared to, even average Jack King, never mind peak Jack King, it's fair to say that the comparison isn't flattering. But amidst all the Corey Ellis love, is the fact that he's for a first-year player, you know, with no preseason, he's averaging either a goal or a goal assist every quarter that he's played, which is high.
Corey Ellis is.
Yeah, Corey Ellis is. So we've been able to, particularly in the last month, we've been able to manufacture some production to compensate from the weaknesses we have elsewhere in this team, to put it nicely.
Yeah, and I do want, I mean, we are the worst scoring team in the top eight. And, you know, we're eighth, so it's not shocking that we are the worst scoring team, but there is a little, we're not like awful, I think we're 11th or 12th, but there is the question, what happens, like the controlling deep defending, ball control deep defending defense. It's sort of worked well, because in every game we played in our winning streak, we've been leading at half time. You know, what happens when we have to chase a lead? How does our forward structure cope with having to open up and actually score in a shootout? You know, that's a question that we'll have to address when it happens, because it will happen. So maybe the playing a specialist defensive forward will come back to bite us, but we don't know yet. And, you know, in fairness to him, he's just come off his best game in an attacking sense. Mm. Talk about Morris. So
his best game so far this season was about Jake King's average.
Exactly. So we'll see. And I talk about it too much, but I did hear Dim of the Week saying that he's one of our best players for scores off creating turnovers that lead to scores. He's one of our best. He's not the best. Like, if you're going to be, not so good on the offensive end, like, if you're going to be the worst offensive player, you've got to be the best defensive player. Like, not just one of the best. You've got to be the best. So I did pick that up, but that's just me being petty. Anyway, we've discussed enough, but I think you've summarized the issue well. And we'll wait and see. And he is coming off his best game. So, you know, hopefully that's a sign of good things to come.
Yep. The other sources of improvement for the team, because frankly, when I went through it, the number of guys who are just playing at pretty much exactly the same level as they were last year is quite long. Troy Chaplin, Ivy, Vlossy, Rance, Grigg, Hawley, Miles, pretty much Chimp. Like, they're all pretty much going as they were last year. Where the guys have improved, Jake Batchelor's having a better year, Grimes is having a better year, Griffiths is playing better. They're all incremental improvements. I still feel like we can get some more out of Grimes, but, you know, there's some promising signs there. Dusty,
the other thing I'll pull you up there is that Grigg is scoring more. He's up to one goal a game.
Grigg is definitely scoring more, and he's tackling more, which is interesting. But
he's at his career average.
Yeah, and contested possessions, clearances, all pretty much the same. We've talked about Dusty, his improvement. That's definitely showing in improved contested ball winning, clearances. He's tackling a lot more, he's rebounding from 50 more, but the one downside being that he's spending less time inside forward 50. You know, that's a trade-off, but, you know, seems to have been effective in the last month. And yeah, we've also talked about Brendan Ellis becoming a lot more well-rounded, and like Dusty, he's tackling more, winning more contested footy. But yeah, you do the numbers, and it's clear. Sheds is our most improved player.
Ah, the beautiful, sweet irony. You know, and as I pointed out, and he is our highest-rated player on the AFL rankings. And, you know, just to do a little bit of a tease of the West Coast game, we don't have highly rated players on the AFL rankings. It's a good measure of offensive output, not defensive. So those people who like advanced stats in baseball or NFL will understand what we're talking about. But, like, for instance, West Coast were playing on the weekend. Pretis is the 18th ranked player in player rankings. Nick Natt is 26th. Shuey is 39th. For us, our top three is Sheds at 42, Marich at 56, and Martin at 65. And Martin is actually at 65 with a bullet. He was lower before, until a few weeks ago, when he's hit a purple patch of form. So, once again, you know, Sheds is our only player inside the top 50 according to player rankings. The stats back up the fact that Sheds is a really good player for us.
I know, and what's impressive about this season is that he's improved his midfielder stats. So, winning more ball, more clearances, more tackles, and yet he's also producing at the same level as a forward. So same number of shots at goal, goal assist numbers are high. Like, it's a really impressive achievement.
Yeah, and, you know, as we discussed in the preseason, our favourite players, we love him.
We love him, yep.
So, Nick, before we get into the West Coast game, is there anything else you want to analyse about the season thus far?
Well, I think we've mentioned it before as well, but it really has been a good draft class. Like, across the seniors and the VFL, we've seen promising signs out of pretty much everyone, from Ellis, Menadue, Drummond before he got hurt, Short and Castagna and Lambert off the rookie list. Unfortunately, Dan Butler has been injured. Unfortunately, Castagna in recent weeks as well. But, you know, it looks like a good crop.
It does, and they've all kept their spot this week, avoiding me going apoplectic with rage that they didn't bring back Newman and replace one of the kids after three quarters in the VFL. And good on them. Like, they're not dominating. Mm. But they're, as you that stat you quoted earlier about Corey Ellison, is one goal assist a quarter is just gold. And Menadue, as we've said in other shows, is doing a lot of off the ball running, and I think really adding to our team defence. So couldn't agree more. Great draft class. So Nick, before we talk about West Coast, I just wanted to bring a very serious issue to your attention.
Yes.
So on the Richmond website, there is a current Richo montage.
Oh, baby.
And, you know, I love me a good Richo montage because, you know, let's face it, in the darkest of times, Richo was – I'm very much in the cult of Richo club. You know, if people want to tell to me you know, we should have traded Richo in 2004, well, they better know how to argue or they better know how to fight, because I don't particularly take that argument very well.
No, none of those crack-smoking heretics are welcome on this podcast.
or in any social context with me, they're pretty much about as welcome as Carlton supporters. So, there's a good one on the club website right now, but my favourite ever Richo montage was one done very early in his career. And it was set.
Oh, I love early career Richo.
Yeah, and it was set. It was a Channel 7 did it, and it was set to Pearl Jam's "Not for You," which is, as I know you're a big grunge fan. Like the you might remember the first few lyrics of that: "Restless Soul," "This is Not for You," "Enjoy Your Youth," like Muhammad, "It's the Truth." But like the "Restless Soul," "Enjoy Your Youth." It's such a moment of early young athletic Richo before he did his knee. It is the perfect song to set early Richo to, because he was just a wild, uncontrollable occult. And also, you know, it's Eddie Vedder, and you know, Eddie and Richo go together like cheese and red wine. So unfortunately, you can't find it on the internet anymore. And the best Richo montage I could find is actually set to a very cliched "Eye of the Tiger" on YouTube. Mm. So I'm just, and the club one was good, but I feel like the definitive Richo montage is yet to be captured.
I was going to say that, because when you mentioned about Richo montage, immediately had the same reaction, that early career wild cult running around, and then just that sense of limitless potential. Yeah, that's my favourite. I loved his career, you know, frankly, every single moment of it that didn't involve an injury. And that's still my favourite.
Yeah. Anyway, so the West Coast game. Fantastic. So
they're a good team.
Sorry?
Well, they're a good team. They've had a pretty soft draw so far.
That is true, but they are the best scoring team in the AFL, and we have had a good record against them.
We have.
If you listen to the bookmakers, we're pretty much a 50-50 game, maybe 55-45 to us.
Mm. Yep.
Nick, this is a huge game.
Well, we say it often, but it is genuinely true this week that we're both, you know, the sort of the top eight set seems to be settling itself, and with the injuries that GWS have had, that, you know, it looks, you know, the odds of Geelong coming in and the Giants slipping out seems reasonably high. You know, we can really cement ourselves spot in the eight this week, but it's not going to be easy.
No, it's going to be tough. They have a really effective forward line. They score heavily. This is not something, you know, we've been relying on a very heavy defence. Pritis got three votes, Brownlow votes against us last time we played them in the win, and he's playing even better this year,
He's getting more help from Andrew Gaff and Shuey as well, and the second tier of midfielders, and Wellingham, Elliot Yeo, Jason Cripps, like some couple of guys from other clubs. They're playing much better than they have before. So they're running deeper, and their forward line's still really dangerous with Kennedy, Jack Darling, Lacroix, Josh Hill. There's plenty to be worried about.
There is, but historically we've played well against them, especially at the G, in Subi. We had one bad game against them at Etihad I think it was 2013 when we were a competent football team. But I think we're up to our neck in it, Nick. And I tell you what, I've cancelled. I was not going to be in Melbourne for the weekend, and I have cancelled other things and rearranged my life to beat this game. And my number one worry right now is will I be warm enough in the third quarter, sitting in the MCG outer, wearing my Richmond jumper on the outside. I could wear a proper jacket, but I'm not going to do it because this is a big game. It's Tiger Pride time.
I'm confident our defense can hold up. Darling and Kennedy are good players. Josh Hill won't be an easy matchup. Maybe Grimes goes to him. Lacar as well. Bachelor.
If there were 16 Darlings in the AFL, Jade Bachelor would get paid $450,000 a year. It's perfect matchups.
That's true. Nick Nat's going to jump on Ivy's head.
Ivy will cope with that. He always copes with that.
Is it? Well, he's certainly used to it. And he'll grind away around the grounds. Look, yeah, I think we can win as well. Particularly, there's rain forecast for the afternoon rather than the evening. And I do wonder if a dry night suits us just to exploit their backline with our tall forwards.
Yeah, and there's talk of if it's wet that we'll play short, which I hope means dropping Ty. I wouldn't mind if we drop Ty because he's not going to get it, because the West Coast fans, and there will be a couple of thousand there, will be booing Ty. He won't get a free kick all night. I wouldn't mind if Ty didn't play it and we brought in Gordon for extra run. That's very pragmatically, but yeah. Look, it's a really exciting game. It's good to be playing good football. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Thank you.